Well, obviously, the lead political item in the world is the war in Ukraine. So it's no surprise that the World Economic Forum here in Davos started off with Ukraine. The First Lady of Ukraine gave an address to the politicians, the business leaders, the millionaires and billionaires, and said, "You all have great influence, but you're not all using that influence." And then we heard from the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, who praised the resilience of the Ukrainian people after almost 11 months of war and said they'd succeeded against the odds. Well, President von der Leyen joins me now. We last spoke at the Munich Security Conference, and that was just days before the war, almost a year ago. Be honest, what were you thinking at the time? Did you think that Ukraine would be able to survive the might of the Russian military, or did you think Kyiv would fall in days?
So at that time, we all hoped that Russia would be reasonable and not do this invasion, because we had prepared massive sanctions and we couldn't imagine that you destroy your own country, Russia, by doing this invasion. Well, it came differently, as we know. And I must say the world is really impressed by the courage and the stamina of the Ukrainian people. They have been amazing throughout this year.
Now, right now, the latest phase of this war, the last 3 months, has been very much a focus on the civilian infrastructure, bombarding it, the Russians, and bombarding civilians. I know you believe these are war crimes. There's this idea of a special tribunal to bring accountability. What do you make of that idea, and how exactly would it work?
Well, I think these are so atrocious war crimes that we witness that indeed it might call for a special tribunal. And this shows that this is an extraordinary situation and that it really needs a strong reaction of the global community, because this is not only a fight for Ukraine of survival and of defending its sovereignty and territory, but it's also a fight of democracy against autocracy and for the respect for the international law. And therefore, we think this needs a special tribunal.
There are others who are not on board with the idea of a special tribunal. I'm not sure President Biden has yet been convinced, but also you have the International Criminal Court, and the key figure there is the prosecutor, Karim Khan. He says, no, my court can deal with this. We don't need to have a special tribunal.
Well, I think important is that there's a strong reaction on these war crimes. And I think we have to discuss it, we have to sort it out, and the result counts. Russia cannot get away with what it has done to the Ukrainian people and what we've seen. And therefore, there needs to be a very clear, strong reaction and condemnation of the international community.
Wouldn't the main problem with the special tribunal be that, just like MH17 and the trial into the downing of that plane in 2014, Russia won't cooperate. It won't hand over the suspects. And the only way you'll ever get justice is if there is regime change in Russia. So is that now the policy of the EU? The end of Putin, the end of the regime?
That is something that the Russian people have to decide. What we're doing, we're showing very clearly to President Putin the price he has to pay, and we said in advance before the war started, the costs will be massive. His economy is crippled by the sanctions. He is completely isolated. We see that the Ukrainians are amazingly courageous and successful in withstanding this brutal aggression. For decades, the Russian economy is ruined and in regression. So it is a question of the Russian people to decide on whether they want to go on like this.
You've been to Kyiv several times since the war started, and I know you're going again at the beginning of February, but that's going to be a different visit because you're taking many of your European commissioners with you. How important is this visit in terms of Ukraine's candidature to be a member of the European Union?
It is very important. We want to send a very strong message that we support Ukraine in all the different files we have, in any aspect. And therefore, the whole college is coming. We sit down with the respective government, the ministers, and we were working on all these different files to do immediately, not only the investments to repair and relieve at the moment being and for reconstruction later on, but also to do immediately the right reforms to modernize the country and to pave the way into membership of the European Union.
So give me an estimate. When could Ukraine become an EU member?
This is always very hard to say because the ball is in their court and it depends. It's a merits-based process. So, but we do everything to support them to be as fast and as successful as possible.
We heard from the Ukrainian First Lady. I was speaking to the mayor of Kyiv earlier. They have the same message. They like what you've done, but they want more. They want more, particularly militarily. So what more can EU nations do? And as you know, there's a focus right now on tanks. Used to be Germany's defence minister. There's a big demand that Germany give tanks and give permission to other countries that have German Leopard 2 tanks to transfer them to Ukraine. Is it time for Germany to act, in your view?
Well, you also know, as President of the European Commission, we don't own any kind of military capabilities, so that's a field where we cannot be active in. I've said since the beginning of the war that we should give to the Ukrainian armed forces the military equipment they need and they can handle. And also if these are advanced technologies, I have the same position still. And I think there will be important discussions now in Ramstein on the 20th of January, and I hope good decisions will be taken.
Let me ask you about the economic effects of the war. I think many have been surprised by the way Europe has begun to wean itself off Russian oil and gas. But what is the effect? And I know Ukraine is only part of this, in the economic outlook for Europe this year. Do you fear that many of your member states are going to fall into recession?
Well, last year in summer, we feared a heavy energy crisis. Some even feared that we will have blackouts, because indeed we were heavily dependent on Russian fossil fuels. But we decided to get rid of this dependency, and successfully we've done so. We've diversified away to friends and partners that are reliable, like the United States, like Norway, for example. We have in parallel filled our storages. We have massively invested in renewable energy because it's homegrown. It gives us independence. We have doubled the deployment, additional deployment of renewable energy. And we are now doing joint procurement for natural gas. All these steps have helped to bring the prices of natural gas down. Actually, since the peak in August last year, we're now down by more than 80% with the gas price. This is good. The warm weather in the winter helps, but it's not the only factor. We're still not out of the woods, but I'm much more positive today than I was 6 months ago.
President von der Leyen, thank you very much for joining us on Al Jazeera. The President of the European Commission, the headline speaker today at Davos.